You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode in the Big Ten tournament, as we are so accustomed to, of the Assembly Call. As you today, your Indiana Hoosiers used a last-second putback by Anthony Leal to knock off Penn State 61-59, setting up a date with Nebraska for the same time on Friday night. That takes IU to 19-13 overall and gives them their fifth straight win. I'm your host, Andy Bottoms, here with Ryan Phillips and Jared Morris's voice, but not his face. And we're going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. This was a game that IU jumped out to, played really well at the beginning, slowly relinquished the lead. Penn State used a huge run at the beginning of the second half to really take control of the game. When the announcers reminded us multiple times, IU should have been up more at halftime. Don't know if anyone heard, but Penn State came out red hot to start the second half, and IU seemed to be reeling, but they righted the ship, came back in a tight game down the stretch. Made plays when it mattered, was able to get Wahab to foul out, giving IU an advantage inside. But it was not one of the big guys who had scored the game-winning basket, although they had plenty to do with the game. It was Anthony Leal who took advantage of Ace Baldwin kind of turning his head, was able to get a putback off of a Malik Renew miss to give IU the 61-59 win after Penn State's game-ending three-pointer came up short. And with that, we're going to start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. The obvious banner moment is the Leal putback. I think for him, he made a number of key plays defensively in the first half, made a big three, just had a number of plays that I marked down from a hustle play perspective. But I would say that IU really started to get back into the game with a play that Xavier Johnson hustled his butt off to get a rebound and ended up in a second chance dunk for Khalil Ware when things were really teetering at that point. He was able to chase down a Mbako miss, got it to Ware for the dunk. That started a 7-0 IU run that put IU back in the lead and really got them back in the game. And while X made a few plays down the stretch that were a little head-scratching, I thought it was his hustle in some of those stretches and solid defense on Ace Baldwin that really righted the ship for IU when it seemed like things were getting away from them, when it seemed like this was turning into the other two Penn State games. And I give him a lot of credit for that. He really, for the most part, played well over the course of the game, played a ton of minutes, far more than what we'd seen from him recently. Ends up playing 37 minutes, had 6 rebounds and 5 assists, and probably no rebound was bigger than the one that he got there to really steady things, get everything settled back down, get IU back in the scoring column, and then left it to Anthony Leal to win it at the end. So that was tonight's banner moment. A number of great stretches of play from the Hoosiers, but that was that gets the banner moment in my view. And with that, Rusty on the hosting duty here.
Home field apparel, wear one for the team.
And our banner moment today, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their 7th season of sponsoring the Back or Assembly Call, and their 3rd as a presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And since IU is their flagship school, you know more high-quality gear with unique IU logos from the past is always right around the corner. I pulled out this Assembly Call sweatshirt. I think Ryan and I are twinning tonight, as you know we often do. And it proved to be a little Homefield magic in the Assembly Call hoodie. So what can you do? Homefield magic is here for us at all times. And they've been doing a lot of great things over the last couple of weeks, getting ready for the tournament. Every day, new things out there. I believe Bomber Jacket restock was there. The IU, I forget what I'm supposed to call it, but I know what I'm not supposed to call it. Warm-up jacket, we'll say, came out this week and looks awesome. So lots of great IU stuff from Homefield, as always. And so no matter what you buy from Homefield, you know it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings, and you're also supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through the Kelley School of Business and isn't shy about showing its love for the Hoosiers. So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME23 to get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME23 for 15% off. Once again, the website, homefieldapparel.com, wear one for the team. All right, now it's time to move the ball, find the open man, get some opening thoughts on the rest of our team. I will preface this with my goal is to keep the show relatively short. One, it is storming like crazy here in Cincinnati. Two, I have a lot of bracketology work to do after the show. And three, we're going to be back again to talk about another IU game tomorrow. So, you know, what more can we ask for? So I'm going to try to...
It always goes so well.
I'm going to try to push through. We're 0 for 100, I think. Maybe 0 for 101 for saying, oh, let's keep this one short. So we'll see how it goes.
Andy's saying is... You guys are going to get enough show over the next couple of days. So.
Yeah, exactly. This one will probably be an hour and a half now that I said that. So it'll be fine. All right. First up, Ryan Phillips. Ryan, what's your rant for this evening? Perhaps the officiating, which was equally poor both ways, quite honestly.
You know, that's what I was going to go with until Anthony Leal turned this game on its head with that putback. One of the problems with Indiana this year, or especially early in the season, and for most of the Big Ten season, I would say, in that stretch where they lost 8 of 10 games, they were just getting beat on hustle plays. It wasn't a lack of effort. It was a lack of intelligent effort, I would say. And I just saw massive lightning behind Andy there, by the way. That was a little unnerving. Those hustle plays, that like coming up with the loose ball, getting the key offensive rebound, coming up with a steal in a situation, for them, it was giving up offensive rebounds as well. And Anthony Leal is a guy who does all of those things for you. And so you've seen, as he has played more over the last stretch, I think it rubs off on his teammates, and he's out there doing them for you. And that is a pure, intelligent hustle play right there to get that rebound and put it back. He slips right by Ace Baldwin, a very good player who just turned and watched the ball for a second, slips right by him, gets to the block. Anthony Hill is one of the shortest guys on the floor in that situation, and yet he knows, hey, there's not much time left. I don't have to get back on defense. I'm going to commit to going in. Saw that his man turned his back and went right by him and was standing right there, and the ball fell in his lap. You know, 9 times out of 10, that ball doesn't fall there and it doesn't matter. But the effort, and he knows that, but the effort to be in that spot is why he's important to this team. And it's why it's a great thing he's coming back next year. And let's hope that they play him from the start next year. He has earned that. I think in Ohio State win, he earned more playing time. It got pulled back a little. He's a guy who does all the right things on the court. He's physically limited defensively and some other things, but he always puts himself in the right position. He always is there to help his teammates. He closes out when guy and rotates when guys screw up defensively to cover for them. There is no reason for him to be not playing, at least as he played tonight, like 24 minutes a game, even if Trey Galloway comes back, because the rest of the team plays like that when he's on the floor, and I feel like they don't when he's not. And so that play was just indicative of who Anthony Leal is, the kind of player he is, and the impact he can have on a team despite having the physical limitations he has. You need guys like him who play smart, good, solid basketball, and who make the plays you need on the floor. You saw Gabe Cupps do some tonight, taking a charge and, you know, really recovering well defensively and all of that. You need guys like that. And that needs to be, as Indiana goes after these higher level 5-star recruits and stuff, I encourage them to aim big, but they cannot forget about the basketball IQ guys and the garbage guys, the guys who do all of the dirty work you need. Those are just as important as getting the high-talented players. And Anthony Leal showed exactly why tonight.
All right. And Jared joining us. He won't be able to see his face. Who knows? Maybe he's also wearing his Assembly Call hoodie. But he is here with us tonight. Jared, opening thoughts on tonight's victory.
Coming to you live from my car in the driveway of my in-laws' house. It's a small house and everybody's asleep.
There were so many bad things in that sentence, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. No, I mean, I'm really proud of these guys, honestly. I mean, the season was left for dead. You know, they win 4 in a row at the end of the regular season, get a win like this in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, for a program where a frustrating theme throughout the season was it felt like kind of making excuses because of injuries and using it as more of a crutch than an explanation. And here in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, without Trey Galloway, who, you know, has really emerged and become such an important focal point for the offense, they just go out and win anyway. You know, and it was great seeing, you know, as you guys have already mentioned, you know, Xavier Johnson, Gabe Cupps, Anthony Leal, none of those guys had stat lines that you're going to look at in 5 years and be like, wow, what a game by those guys. But if you watched the game, you saw all the winning plays that they made throughout the night, you know? And so, you know, just being able to step up, you're not going to replace everything that Trey Galloway does and had been doing. But for those guys to just be able to step up and make those plays was huge. And look, you know, the other big thing, Ryan, you're completely right about, you know, the role players and guys like Anthony Leal, but they've got to have stars to orbit around. And
of course,
tonight,
of course.
You know, tonight, Khalil Ware once again put Indiana basketball on his back. You know, Mackenzie Mbako was aggressive but inefficient. Malik Renu, same thing. You know, both those guys. And then Mbako was 4 for 15, Renu 4 for 12. You know, so you don't get the typical production from those guys. And Ware just goes out with 18 points, 14 boards, 3 blocks, 2 steals, a number of big buckets down the stretch. You know, when Indiana was struggling, they went to Khalil, and he would typically find a way to produce. And so, you know, I think we all assume that we're only going to have Khalil for this 1 year. And, you know, in February, plenty of people said, hey, if this season's going to go down, you know, what's Khalil doing? You know, is he going to keep playing as hard as he is? Is he going to stay committed? He has answered that with an emphatic yes, because he's been huge and he's been playing hard and he's been playing tough and he just keeps getting better and better. This wasn't, you know, the most efficient game. He didn't wow you with some of the moves that we've seen from him, but he just did what needed to be done to get the win. And I think those were the kinds of things that people were not saying about him last year when he transferred that they definitely are now. And we saw another example of it tonight.
Yeah, it was an ugly game, and he rose in an ugly game. You know, I mean, yep. I mean, like, there's no way a 61-59 in a high-level college basketball game is extremely ugly. Both teams were under a point of possession. There were long stretches for both where the offense just disappeared. There was all this fouling and free throws, and, I mean, it was just the officiating was awful in the second half, and it's hard to get into a rhythm when that's the case. So some of the offensive issues, I guess you could blame on that. Some just – it was just poorly executed. But the fact that – in that ugly game, he was 50% from the field, which is very low for him, but he still ended up with 18 and 14, made 4 or 6 free throws, had 3 blocks, 2 of them incredibly emphatic, had some steals. Like, he just, you're right, he rises. And when I make the comment about the, you know, the glue guys that you need to have, you absolutely need the stars. You're 100% right. You need those guys, but you need to supplement them with those other guys that can then feed them and help them, as opposed to trying to, you know, needing more touches or guys like that. You put 5 5 stars on the floor, yeah, you're going to have a lot of talent, but we've seen that not work for plenty of teams. You need to have that balance of veterans and stars and glue guys and all of that to be a championship program. And again, Anthony Leal showed why, and Khalil Ware showed why. Those are both true.
Especially, Ryan, in this system where the shots are really funneled to the top 2 or 3 yep. guys on the floor, you need guys who can impact the game without shooting and scoring. And that's why I think Leal has just had such a big impact, because he's happy to do that and he's good at doing it.
Yeah, and you know, again, we talk about flawed stat and everything, but he was plus 10. He led Indiana in plus 10. Khalil was minus 3. You wouldn't say Khalil was a minus 3 player tonight, but it's just, you know, you need guys who can help to help those guys to get where they need to be and do what they need to do.
Yes, as always, yeah. Use plus minus for the points that you want to make.
Exactly.
Just ignore it if it doesn't.
Well, I mean, duh.
Yeah, Anthony, to his credit, was not on the floor at the beginning of the second half, which is the main
sure.
reason why his number was much better than everybody else.
100%.
Yeah, you know, you guys touched on, to me, what the two main storylines were. And one was how IU made up for the absence of Trey Galloway. You look across Xavier Johnson, Gabe Cupps, and Anthony Leal. They scored 18 points. They had 12 rebounds and 7 assists. And, you know, they did have, I think, only 3 turnovers, all of those from X. Gabe and Anthony did not turn the ball over at all. And I think that was one of the big things that you looked at coming into the game. I think you looked at that from a defensive standpoint in terms of how IU would try to deal with Ace Baldwin. Cupps, I thought, fought through. They really tried to put him on him early. And then when it really got into crunch time, and part of this was Cupps was out of the game, they had Johnson face guarding him, and there were possessions that he just didn't even let him touch the ball.
Yep.
And so I thought, as you said, Jared, their contributions, if you add up the numbers, they look fine. But man, I don't think that really tells the full story. I mean, almost every note that I had about specific plays, one of those guys is in the middle of. There's a play in the first half. Anthony Leal plays great defense, forces an air ball. 2 plays later, skip pass from Cupps to Leal for 3. Another one, Leal makes a great hustle play, although, you know, said in a much lower voice, then fouled a guy on a three-pointer right after that.
Didn't hear that, Andy. Sorry.
Yeah, nope.
You have to speak up.
And then you, you know, X had a great pass to Khalil for a dunk late in the half. And, you know, Leo causing turnovers later in the game, getting on the floor. And one of the other plays in that stretch was Leo got himself to the free throw line a couple of times. Puff Johnson had created a steal from Xavier Johnson and was really, really aggressive, doing basically all the things they tell you that you'll get called for fouls on, but then he just didn't. And Leo attacked him, got fouled, went to the line, made both free throws. I just thought he had a knack for really making plays in key moments. I think all those guys did that. Cups hit a couple big threes. One was a three that gave him the lead at the end of that 7-0 run, where, you know, has his feet set. Both of his threes had his feet set, was in position, ready to shoot. I just thought those guys made tons of both big and small plays to really help make up for the absence of Galloway, which is a guy that it was hard to envision IU winning games without, based on how much of a part of the offense he's been. So, Jared, any lingering thoughts on that trio or any other plays that kind of you know, symbolize what they brought to the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. They were timely. You know, look, I think it's fair to say if Indiana's going to play this game without Trey Galloway, you probably won a game that's in the high 50s, low 60s. You know, because when you know, if this game is up in the 70s and 80s, you know, that trio of guards probably doesn't have quite enough firepower to keep up. But in a lower scoring game, now you maximize the impact of the plays that those guys did make. And so, you know, they didn't take a lot off the table. You know, there weren't a lot of bad shots. There weren't a lot of turnovers. There weren't a lot of defensive breakdowns. And so it seemed like every play they made was additive. You know, you mentioned the three-pointer, Ryan, that Gabe Cups hit in transition to make it 43-42. Then he goes down on the next defensive possession, hounds Ace Baldwin all over the court, and then as soon as Baldwin does that little dribble handoff with Kern, jumps in front of him and takes a charge. I mean, it's one of the best individual defensive possessions we've seen from a Hoosier this season because of the recognition and the toughness. It was just a great play by Cups. You guys are laughing, but, you know, but it was tremendous. And that's, you know, two straight games. I thought his defense against Michigan State was better. You know, when you're seeing a guy now who's a little more comfortable stepping into shots, I mean, you know, there have been a lot of reasons why Indiana has won five in a row. I think one of the underrated ones is Cups' minutes have been more valuable. He's just doing more things that impact winning on both ends, and you're seeing some of the confidence, you know, come for him. And so, you know, between, you know, X, I think finding a way to be a little bit more reserved, you know, so that you don't get as many of the mistakes, but he's able to go out there and make plays. You know, Leal, you know, just doing Leal things and being aggressive in the second half when he was getting to the line. And from Cups, I mean, that it's really made a huge difference. And like you said, when you don't have Trey Galloway, those guys have to play like this. And so, you know, as you look toward tomorrow, can Indiana keep a game? You know, having played tonight, Nebraska rested. We know how they play offense. Can Indiana keep that game down here, or is that game going to get in the 70s and 80s? That could really prove to be a challenge, you know. But this team is rising to the occasion with a lot of challenges these last four or five games. And so I certainly wouldn't count them out. But I think to whatever extent they can keep this as a lower scoring game tomorrow night, it really plays to the strengths of, you know, this backcourt trio that they're going to have to lean on.
Yeah, all you need to know about the perimeter defense for Indiana coming into the game, the big concern for me was not only Penn State's defense and turnovers and things like that that they have thrived on, but it was a three-point shooting. They hit 9 threes in one game, 12 in the other. They hit 7 tonight, but it took them 27 attempts to get there. And if you look at the perimeter guys, Ace Baldwin, Puff Johnson combined to go 1 of 13 from 3. That tells you they were hounded. They were guarded. They didn't feel comfortable. You didn't let those guys get comfortable from 3. And I think that Indiana did get lucky in the first half. They left a lot. Even when they had the lead, Penn State missed about 4 or 5 wide open threes, and then they started hitting them after that, sort of to start the second half, late in the first, start the second half. But they still kept with it and hounded them. The defense got better as the game went on the perimeter. And so, again, between Johnson and Baldwin, you went 1 of 13 from 3. And if you can defend the three-point line like that, you can beat Nebraska tomorrow night. You know, I mean, that's something they do heavily as well. So that's what encouraged me was, you're right about the defense and them chasing guys and hounding guys.
they really were able to tamp down on the 3-point line, which has been a big problem for Indiana this year.
Yeah, they did a really good job of recovering and were just flying around at times. And I think with Ace Baldwin, they had gotten burned so many times these previous matchups on switches. They really didn't do very much of that at all with him and were willing to live with, if he's going to hit a bunch of threes, then we're probably not going to win. And so I think that was part of it that played in their hands. One other quick, you know, main storyline that I'm going to hit, and then we'll move on, in the interest of time. You know, I think Khalil Ware, I thought he really, you know, they really went at him early in the game, tried to dump the ball into Wahab. And for as much as the broadcast made a big deal of Penn State missing a bunch of shots around the rim, Khalil Ware had a lot to do with that. So it was almost as if Penn State was just missing uncontested layups. And that, you know, they made a big deal of, oh, I can't believe they're still in the game and they've just done this. And just
he was in their head.
Whatever. I mean, he really walled up and did a good job against them. And I thought the other thing that I like from him offensively, he really struggled at times trying to go right at Wahab. And then there he kind of adjusted during the game, had a nice hook shot in the second half, hit that nice turnaround.
Started going over instead of trying to go through.
Yeah, he just, Wahab is a big guy, mature guy. You're just not going to be able to do that. And I thought – In a lot of ways, it was emblematic of the growth that we've seen from Ware over the course of the year in terms of things he would try to do earlier in the season that he's gotten away from, and really grew within the game to take good shots and be such a factor. And so I give him a ton of credit for the Penn State misses early in the game. So Ryan, quick thoughts on Ware on both ends of the floor before we break.
Well, the stat that goes right in line with what you're saying is Penn State was 4 of 21 on layups. I mean, that's, and they missed like their other, I remember at one point they said they were 1 for 1 on dunks and like 0 of 8 on layups or something to start the game. And you're right. It's all just his presence. And he had 3 blocks tonight, but he was right there for about 4 others. And just the, again, having a guy like that, we saw the effect Trayce Jackson-Davis would have on people last year. And it is just the thought that when I drive in, I got to keep my eye. It's almost like I got to keep one eye on the rim and one eye on the defender, you know, shading over, and that makes it more difficult. You know, when you have that in the back of your mind, it makes you more difficult and makes it more difficult to get to the rim to make layups and even just to shoot inside the paint. So he had a lot to do with that. You're absolutely right. And it's a great observation. And that, to me, you're holding Penn State to 59 points. You hold them at the 3-point line and you make it difficult for them on layups. Where are they going to go? And that's how you can beat them when only scoring 61 points.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back and we continue our breakdown of IU's 61-59 victory over Penn State, we'll point out some meaningful moments you might have missed and then go inside the numbers to look at the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is AJ Moyer. What's the only thing better than upsetting Duke in the Sweet 16? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jarrett, Andy, Ryan, and Coach for the Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
All right, welcome back to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Ryan Phillips and Jared Morrison. We are breaking down IU's 61-59 victory in the Big Ten tournament over Penn State. And now it is time for today's meaningful moment that you might have missed. To be honest with you, I feel like I used the majority of mine at various points during the during the opening of the show. So, Jared, any moments stand out to you in particular?
Same thing. We've talked about several of them, but there were a couple others that I wanted to point out real quick. One is back when it was 55-55 and Ware fouled out Wahab with a really, really strong drive across the middle of the lane. And again, you know, the kind of drive I don't think he makes in November, December, while, you know, staying strong, keeping the ball, getting fouled, not getting stripped. And it was big because Indiana knew they could go inside once Wahab was out. And, you know, having him out of the lane is helpful there for Anthony Leal to go get the game-winning play. And so I think Ware being able to play, you know, so aggressively and strong against Wahab. Now, I will say one of the fouls against Wahab was that one on McKenzie Mbako's drive that looked like a terrible call, one of about 35 awful calls that we saw tonight on both sides. I think both teams have a pretty fair gripe with the officiating. So I guess in that sense, well done, Big Ten officials. You know, but the other thing that I just found interesting, and it does go back to the officiating because it's two bad calls, but I think it also speaks to what can happen as a veteran in this league when you build a reputation. And so Malik Renew's fourth foul, you know, he's reaching in, and he's been called so many times for those reach-ins on drivers that I think officials, you know, whether consciously or subconsciously, they look for it. And that's part of the reason we've been saying, Malik, just stop reaching in. The risk reward is not there. But then you go down at the end of the game when Xavier Johnson has that transition opportunity and drives, and Ace Baldwin clearly just rips him across the but he gets the call. Now, you can say both of those calls were bad, and I agree that both of those calls were bad. I also think you're seeing the reputation of one guy who's a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, has a reputation for steals. He gets the benefit of the doubt. Malik does not. And that's something Malik really has to internalize and understand as he looks to take that next step as an upperclassman. But, you know, overall, I mean, I think the thing, Andy, that you can also mention when it comes to meaningful moments is there were a lot of bad decisions by Indiana down the stretch too. I thought Xavier Johnson took a three early in the shot clock that wasn't a good shot. McKenzie Mbako had a foul 95 feet from the basket where Coach Woodson is like, why foul there? You know, and gave them, you know, some free throws. And so, you know, it wasn't a perfect performance from Indiana by any means. You know, we made plenty of mistakes, but on a night like tonight, when you're playing shorthanded and it's tournament play, you know, I saw Coach Marlowe in the chat, hey, just be 1-0 at the end of the day for four straight days. And so I think, you know, we're not really looking with this team now to correct its mistakes for the long term. It's just find a way to win. And so I think it's a little bit easier to not worry about that stuff now and just focus on the winning plays, because it's tournament play. That's what matters. And again, I'm really proud of these guys for how many winning plays they made down the stretch, you know, in difficult situations, guys playing a little bit of a different role now. And that's, you know, that's the mark of a winning team. And it's a shame they couldn't figure it out earlier, because we're really seeing some of those traits now in these last five games.
Yeah. The other reputation foul was the one that X got on that baseline out of bounds play where the guy's basically wrapping him up and he moves his arm to try to get free and gets called for a foul. But the one moment that I did think about and gives us a chance to talk a little bit about McKenzie Mbako is things were, you know, what happened at the beginning of the second half was starting to kind of happen at the end of the first. And, you know, but Mbako hit a jumper at the end of the half that really seemed to like stem the tide just a little bit, pushed the lead back up to five. And I thought he had a couple situations where, you know, had open threes, kind of hesitated, in one case hesitated twice, and then, you know, and then shot, didn't go very well. Another case where a guy flew by him and he did whatever. But I thought it was an uneven performance from him, as you know, his shooting numbers would suggest. He was 0 for 5 from 3, 4 of 15 total from the floor, had 5 rebounds, had enough good moments to really show you the growth that he's shown over the course of the season, had enough silly plays to show you that there's still some of that in there. As the play that you talked about, but I thought that bucket was kind of a big one I guess maybe it wasn't because of the way IU came out and played in the second half, but I thought at least at the time felt like a big shot from him. He got into a spot where he was comfortable right around the elbow and knocked it down. Ryan, any overall thoughts on McKenzie from tonight?
Yeah, I thought he forced some things, but I also think that the way the game was going, he's the best guy to go get offense out of nothing, even more so, I think, than Khalil Ware, just because you have to work the ball to Khalil, whereas you could just give it to McKenzie on the perimeter and let him work. And so I think that some of that was a product of some of his, you know, maybe forced stuff was a product of that. He shot, his threes, I only had a problem with one of them. I thought they were all pretty clean looks and they just didn't go in. And sometimes you're playing in a new big NBA arena and you just don't feel as comfortable as you do at home. And he was 0-5. I didn't think anything was egregious. The thing I did appreciate was, and you've noticed this over the past couple weeks, I tweeted it out, his aggressiveness on the boards has completely changed night and day. I know people have talked about his defense. He's moving better there, but a lot of those offensive rebounds Indiana was giving up early in the year, McKenzie Mbaka was a part of, and now he's not doing that. He's blocking guys out. He's going and finding the ball and coming down with it aggressively, not just, you know, sticking a hand up and kind of pulling it in lightly. He's going up and grabbing the ball with two hands. Didn't have any offensive rebounds. He kind of went in and hunted a few and, you know, sort of picked his spots with it. But defensive rebounding is a huge thing that I have noticed in his game that has become a focus, and he's certainly better at it now. Along with, we've seen him develop in a lot of other areas, but I think that rebounding is night and day, and it helps because you're not giving up those second chance points that have killed Indiana all year. But as far as the offense, I think he was just trying to get something going. And again, he's so talented that you're willing to let him have a little bit of freelancing to get it. And I didn't have, there were a couple drives that were ill-advised and maybe one or two, you know, jumpers inside the three-point line that were ill-advised, but I can't really fault him on a night where the offense isn't working for going and trying to find offense.
No, I mean, look, you know, he only makes 4 field goals and he misses all of his threes. But I think if you're focusing on the 4 and the 0, you're kind of missing the forest for the trees. The important numbers for me are 15 attempts from the field and 5 from 3. I trust him as a shooter. I know he didn't make them tonight. That's fine. I thought his process was good. I thought a lot of the decisions to drive were good. And I just think for a freshman in his first Big Ten tournament game, I'm sure kind of going into it knowing, hey, someone's got to step up and score with Trey out, it probably should be me because he's a perimeter guy. And so to keep his aggressive attacking mentality, that's what's important, because this is a guy who, you know, as recently as a few months ago, could go into a shell offensively if he missed his first few shots or the opportunities weren't coming. Now he plays with the confidence and self-assuredness of a guy who knows he can go get a shot if he needs to get one, you know. And so I just think him being that aggressive is a great sign for tomorrow, because we need him taking 15, 16, 17 shots tomorrow if we're going to have a chance.
Yep, and those meaningful moments were brought to you by our friends at the Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. And now it's time to go quickly inside the numbers, which is brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding areas, and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville by calling 812-339-3334 or by visiting jacksonhewitt.com. All right, guys, stats. You know, a couple I'll throw out and then feel free to jump in. One, IU ends up outscoring Penn State 32-18 points in the paint. That was, I think, the first 10 points IU scored were in the paint. And really that was what helped get Wahab eventually in foul trouble. Although it took a long, you know, IU shot no free throws until the very end of the first half, as that happened. And, I guess that's the other segue to the free throw line. IU 14 of 18. And there was a stretch where IU did not score a field goal for a while, but they made enough from the line to really keep them in it. And the free throw line was something that kept Penn State in the game, early on. And then lastly, points per possession numbers, kind of ugly all around. IU ends up at 0.91 points per possession offensively. Penn State ends up at 0.87 for the game. I texted you guys at one point at the beginning of the first half after Penn State made their second four-point play of the game. They were scoring like 2.14 points per possession over the first seven possessions of the second half.
Is that good, Andy?
It's not bad. Okay. But what is bad is scoring 0.61 over the remainder of the half. So do give IU's defense a lot of credit. Again, we talked about X making that play and really being able to turn things around. But this is a team that we've seen at times. Things start going poorly. It's just like a freight train running downhill. And they, on both ends, you know, I think that they were able to really steady things and come back and really bounce back within the game. I think that's, you know, we've seen them bounce back at the end of the season by winning five straight. Ryan, any stats stand out to you?
Well, Indiana won the rebounding battle, but did give up 13 offensive rebounds. But when you look deeply into that, Wahab had five of them. And I think a couple of them were on, you know, in one possession. So you don't feel too terrible about the rebounding thing because you did win ultimately. I think Indiana, you know, getting 13 assists on 22 made field goals is something that stands out. It's over 50%, which is solid, especially considering how many points they scored in the paint. A lot of times that negates an assist when you're just tossing it into the big guys. But I just think defensively, that was the thing that stood out to me. And you mentioned the points per possession, but, you know, Penn State shot 25.9% from the three-point line and 27.6% from the field. You're not going to win if you do that. And if you hold the team to that as Indiana, you are going to win. And Indiana, conversely, was 39.3% from the field, 25% from three. They went 3 of 12 from three, which not great, but Penn State didn't beat you by that much on the other end because of how poor their shooting was.
Jared, any numbers stand out to you?
Yeah, just a couple. You know, coming into this game, no Trey Galloway. We've got to find some extra offense somewhere. And there were two places Indiana found extra offense in this game that we don't usually get it. One is from the bench, where with just the bench guys, we scored 10 points. But you got to, you know, if you count Xavier Johnson as a bench guy, because he's been coming off the bench, that's his 6 points as well. Or that's his, you know, 4 points.
It's 14.
So, yeah, whatever it is, it's 14, 15, you know, bench points for Indiana, which was big. And look, the other one, you guys mentioned it, but I think we need to linger on the free throw shooting for just a second. You know, because sometimes when you lose a game and it's like, man, you know, if we just made, you know, three or four more free throws, it kind of seems like an overly simplistic way to analyze the game. So let me do it in reverse after a win. If Indiana just shoots what they typically shot in Big Ten games from the free throw line, they go 11 for 18 and lose this game by 1 point. Everything else is the same.
I was going to mention free throws, Jared, because I didn't want to jinx it. But
well, but you know, and,
you're right.
But
though.
Again, it is something that, you know, is just the bane of so many IU fans' existence when Indiana shooting like this. And it can kind of be like, oh yeah, they're talking about the free throws again. Like, it really does win and lose you games sometimes. Yeah. And so I think for Indiana to come out again, needing an extra boost of offense somewhere, a little from the bench, a little from the free throw line, and then you know, take a little bit off Penn State defensively. That was the formula for this game, you know, and those little things, doing those little things, Ryan, that, like you said earlier, that they hadn't been doing, is why they win a game like this instead of lose it by five or six.
Yeah, and I think, Jared, to your point, look who was shooting the free throws. Leal had four free throws, and Bako had four free throws. They're two of your better free throw shooters, or at least form-wise. I don't know what Leal's percentage is, but he hasn't played enough to really establish that. You didn't have Trey Galloway shooting free throws, who we love. Trey would love to have him in the game, but he's a terrible free throw shooter. You got 4 for 4 from Renew, who's can get hot and be a really good free throw shooter. And Ware was 4 of 6, but he didn't miss his two until later in the game. You had the right guys shooting free throws. And I think that was really the difference. You had the ball. The ball was in the hands of guys who are capable of stepping up. And I'll say this, I know this is looking ahead. When Indiana hits the transfer portal, the guys who are going to have the ball in their hands, if they haven't learned this lesson this year, they got to make sure they're getting guys who can make free throws. Because in the Big Ten, you're going to get a lot of calls and you're going to be at the line a lot and you're going to have to make them. And so when you're going to find guys, it's great to find great athletes who can do a lot of things, but can they also step to the line and make a shot? And that should be part of the evaluation, because especially after this year when Indiana has just been so deficient in that area.
All right. Well, coming up on the assembly call, we're going to hand out our game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Award. We'll discuss a lingering question and look ahead to tomorrow's opponent. That's all next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Ryan Phillips and Jared Morris, and we are breaking down IU's 61-59 victory over Penn State in the Big Ten tournament. It's now time for our game balls presented by our friends Allie and James at Bloom Environmental, and they wanted to make sure everyone knows about radon, a colorless, odorless radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. And according to the EPA, Monroe County and other surrounding counties throughout Indiana are expected to have elevated levels of radon above the action level recommended for mitigation. So contact Bloom Environmental today and mention the Assembly Call for a free radon test kit and mitigation estimate. You can learn more about that by going to bloomenviro.com. All right, gentlemen, time for our game balls. Jared,
easy.
I will go to you first.
Both of these are easy.
Colo Don't try and influence the voters, Jared. Just to get your
answer. These are going to be 100%. There's no – I mean, Khalil Ware is the game ball. Again, you know, you can't – take production like this for granted, and it really feels like the roles have been reversed a bit, you know, between he and Malik Renew, where there was a real stretch there in January, maybe early February, where Malik was really putting the team on his back and the guy that you could really count on for the scoring and would kind of be the closer, you know, at the end when you have a chance to win. And that guy is now Khalil Ware. You know, he's kind of the guy that you can count on game in, game out. Even when he, you know, doesn't score in the first half against Maryland, still is able to bounce back and be productive enough in the second half to help, you know, get that win. And you just saw more of that today. He's really put this team on his shoulders and is the biggest reason why Indiana has enjoyed this five-game winning streak that we're on.
Ryan?
It's Ware. No question. On to you, Andy.
Let's make it unanimous. I talked about him before, just thought his impact on the game and when he was able to get Wahab fouled out, it really gave IU an avenue to get some points inside that they took advantage of at times. All right. With that, next up is our Hoosier Hustle Award.
The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, I have some exciting news to share about our friends at Evansville Security Services. They've been acquired. They are now part of the team at Security Pro 24/7, which provides trusted and reliable security for your event or business, from Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Calvert Chaney grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
Well, I wonder who could get this. Could be the same person who just did that ad. Ryan, who gets your Hoosier Hustle Award tonight?
You guys are going to be shocked at my answer. It's Anthony Leal. Even just for the biggest hustle play of the game, like for all things equal, best hustle play of the game was that, you know, offensive rebound putback that actually won the game. But Leal, the entire night, was recovering for other guys. You know, he knew what he was doing defensively. He would make sure the 3-point line was locked down, close out. You saw a couple times where X got drawn in trying to maybe get a steal or something and gambled, and Leo would recover to his guy, and X would have to run across the formation to recover to Leo's guy. And it's just he's helping his teammates out in a way that, you know, those are the guys that are really important to the team, are guys who know where their teammates are going to be at what time and can recover and help and cover for them while they're off doing whatever it is they're doing. But on top of that, 4 rebounds for Anthony Lill as well. Again, one of the smaller guys on the floor most of the time he's out there. 4 rebounds. So that's all heart and a steal in 24 minutes. Love this kid. And I love what he brings. And I thought it was an obvious answer for the Hustle Award tonight.
Yeah, I mean, when the game-winning bucket is made on a hustle play, that guy's probably going to get the Hustle Award. Without that, maybe there could be a debate for Gabe Cupps, for Xavier Johnson, you know, guys who I thought really impacted the game with hustle. I thought you could put Mackenzie Mbako in there as well. But Anthony Leal, game-winning play, he gets the Hustle Award.
Yeah, he just fights defensively. I think made a number of really good plays there, either digging down to get a steal, you know, really making guys take tough shots over him, bodying up to people. I just think he continues to you know, he has limitations on that end. Everybody knows that, but I think he's making the most of, you know, being in the right position and some of those things. And I think you just you watch how hard he runs the floor and how hard he cuts. You know, that 3-pointer that was off the skip pass from Cupps was just, he sprinted to the side. Penn State's still scrambling, trying to figure out where everybody is, gets an open 3. You know, there was a play that Baldwin actually did not foul him on, unlike the Xavier Johnson play that, you know, made a great cut to the rim. Baldwin just makes a great play and knocks the ball out of bounds, but just in general knew where to be. And I thought even when Penn State played a little bit of zone, was getting guys organized and doing all the little things there. So great performance from Anthony Leal, including the game.
And the hustle continued after the game as he does 2 interviews and then quickly tweeted Leal deal. So he's hustling for his sponsors as well, which we appreciate. Well done, Anthony.
Got to give him credit. All right. Now, lingering question. Lingering question is, can they keep this up? Can the winning streak get to 6 games is the lingering question at this point. And can IU find a way to get to Saturday of the Big Ten tournament? You know, match up with Nebraska, one that, you know, did not really go well for IU in either of the matchups so far this year. But I think we've seen across some of these tournaments today that sometimes the team who has already played a game is in a little bit of a rhythm, is more familiar with the shooting background in some of those scenarios. So I do think there can be a benefit to that. Now, there's a fatigue element to it as well.
Yeah, we'll especially without when you're missing Galloway, too.
Yeah, you're missing guys, not playing a deep bench. So fatigue could certainly play a factor in that scenario. But I do think from watching a lot of these games today, you've seen some teams kind of get into a little bit of a rhythm. Maybe that could be IU as we go into tomorrow. But, you know, maybe just go to a quick thing from each of you that you're really looking for in the game tomorrow. Ryan, I'll go to you first.
3-point defense, I think, is going to be the key with Nebraska. They spread the ball out. They move it. They're constantly moving, and they hit threes. If Indiana could slow them down at all from the 3-point line, as you said, Nebraska hasn't played in that arena. Maybe the background is weird for them. They don't get into a rhythm. Maybe you could slow them down. But I also want to see Indiana has to get out early in this one. Because I think that if they get behind and have to slow play their way back, because they don't shoot threes well and have to slow play their way back through the paint, Nebraska is the exact kind of team that will bury you with threes while you're shooting twos. And so I do think Indiana has to get out. We've seen them recently get out to good leads early and then kind of fade at the end of the first half and then either come out slow to start the second or come out fast to start the second. It's one or the other. There's no like game battling. Or just, you know, trading buckets. It's one or the other. And so I do think they need to get off fast in this one, maybe get Nebraska a little discouraged and, you know, that way already have a built-in lead when Nebraska gets hot, because Nebraska will get hot at some point, just like we knew Penn State would get hot at some point. It's going to happen tomorrow. Indiana's got to be able to handle it.
Yeah, Jared, what's kind of key to the game for you as you look ahead to it?
Well, you know, I think most importantly from Indiana's perspective, what is Trey Galloway's status? You know, there have been kind of some conflicting reports, you know, we know there's an injury. Could he be available? You know, we don't know. You know, does an extra day matter? We'll see. You know, that obviously could change things potentially for Indiana if he's able to go. But, you know, to Ryan's point, I think three-point defense against this Nebraska team is going to be huge, but it can't stop at the shot. And so I'm going to piggyback on that and say rebounding as well. Because, you know, Nebraska will put up enough that even if you're defending it quote-unquote well, they can still kill you with three-point volume. And so you have to end possessions. I think Indiana probably wants to play a little bit slower against this team and limit their opportunities. So, you know, they've got to hustle and stay out to shooters and chase Tominaga. And that, you know, was a mental and physical challenge in and of itself. But then, you know, wear and renew especially, but the guards also are going to have to rebound, end possessions, and then if they can, get going the other way, because Indiana's going to need to find even more of those hidden points, especially if Galloway is out, to compete with a team in Nebraska that, even on a bad offensive day, is probably going to do more than what Penn State did tonight.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I look a little bit at Malik Renew and try to figure out how you can get a little bit more out of him. I thought he had an uneven performance tonight, picked up first three fouls that he picked up were all offensive fouls, a couple charges, which this game had as many charges as any college basketball game I've watched all season long. And then got another one on a moving screen and just thought he never really got into a rhythm, then tried to force things, had some turnovers. You're going to have to get a big game from him as you go through there. And if you look at how he's played against Nebraska so far this year, had 15 points in the game at IU, was a perfect 6 of 6 on twos, and had 14 in the first matchup. Like, I think he probably needs to get close to 20. Ware had a 20-point game against him as well. IU's got to be able to use that to their advantage, make Rink Mass guard somebody, you know, put him in difficult situations in that regard. So, yeah, that's a guy I really look forward to bounce back. Mbako in the last game against him had 22. So maybe, Jared, that's a harbinger of things to come, as you talked about him being able to still, you know, take shots and
I think he's got to score 20 plus if we're going to have a chance. I think Mbako's got to get 20 plus.
Guys to score 20 plus, I think. Yeah. Just given you're probably not, no matter how well you play defense, you're probably not holding them to 60 points or to under 60 points. So you got to figure out how to make that up. And be interested to see how they guard Tominaga. I think he gave Cup some issues previously, and so we'll see how they do that. But I like you said, Ryan, I think getting out to an early start is pretty important. So in terms of
Andy, I do need to make one correction real quick.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier that Anthony Leal tweeted Leal Deal. It was not, in fact, Anthony who sent the tweet. It was Trace Jackson Davis. So even better for Anthony. So he's got his friends hustling for him.
That'll up the distribution.
Even better. Yes. So as we look ahead, upcoming shows, we'll have a postgame show again tomorrow night, or I guess later tonight in my time zone now, as it's already Friday. Game time.
If your town still exists, yeah, Andy, with so it doesn't the float. Saving, it doesn't. So doesn't float away.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back with the show. Some combination of us will be back for that one. 9 o'clock tip again. Did actually a pretty good job of keeping on schedule tonight. Didn't start
did.
Much later than normal. So
I will give him credit, a fast.
Although when Iowa was fouling with a minute 40 already down like 12, I was getting a little bit agitated, but that eventually stopped. So
it's fair
there. And then on Selection Sunday, Jeff and Kathy are doing a show for the women's selection show. I will probably be passed out asleep at that point after all the bracketology stuff over the weekend, but they'll be having that as we find out what happens to the women's team and whether they're able to play their first couple round games at home. And so
one question, Andy, Andy, just quick question, is IU, I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going to say the NIT stuff. Are they high enough in the rankings to wind up there, do you think? Because I've seen them in some of these brackets.
Winning
today was
huge for the NIT.
That's what I was wondering.
Important. The NIT has a different rule now, and I don't think IU would qualify for this, especially with Iowa getting bumped. But the way they're handling it, although maybe based on the number of points that Maryland lost by today, maybe it would help. But the basically like the top two net teams from the major conferences get an automatic bid to the NIT.
So
the top two that don't make the tournament. So they went away from, if you were a small conference team and you won your regular season, you would automatically go to the NIT. The little guy getting crapped on, that is no longer a rule.
Because they want the bigger fan bases.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it helps for that. I haven't looked into that too terribly much, but certainly winning this game helps and puts them in it.
Beating Nebraska would certainly help. I mean,
definitely.
They moved up. I mean, Kemp. They haven't updated net, but I saw Kempon. They moved up one spot to 84.
Yeah, it's usually pretty close. I would guess it'd be one or two spots there as well, if I had to guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. A reminder to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. You can use the promo code HOME23 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. That's HOME23. And guys, it's time for last call. Did not make my goal of getting the show done 10 minutes ago, but for us, this is still
pretty good, though. Pretty quick. Pretty good.
Not terrible. So
I will not draw out my final comment, I promise. Yeah.
All right. Jared, final thoughts from the driveway.
Yeah. Well, honestly, my number one thought is I really hope that my father-in-law doesn't lock me out, because he always locks the door at the end of the night. And, you know, and sometimes.
Oh, Jared, I'm sorry. I accidentally locked you out.
It's a possibility. So I left a little note by the door. I was like, remember, Jared's out here. Don't lock me out. But there is a small chance I'll be sleeping in my car tonight. But no, I'm a happy
it's
Hoosier
dedication
fan.
To the program.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a happy Hoosier fan tonight. I'm really proud of these guys, as I've said like three or four times now. And, you know, again, I think being really happy about a win like tonight doesn't absolve this season of, you know, all the problems and make them go away. But, you know, I think every data point matters, you know, and winning games in the Big Ten tournament matters. Playing on Fridays of the Big Ten tournament matters, and we're going to do that. And so, you know, these are all just small things. You know, this team just dropped the floor so far, you know, at one point in the season, you know, and so there was a long way to go, but they're doing as much as they can here at the end of the season. And so hopefully they've got even more basketball in them, but these last five games have been fun, and I'd like to see, you know, at least a few more.
Yep. Ryan, last call.
You know, March is always interesting, and Indiana certainly put us on a bit of a journey in March with these five wins. And, you know, a guy who they've ridden a little bit is Anthony Leal. And I'll go back to my opening, is that this game was about Anthony Leal and doing all the little things that Indiana's been missing all season. And I just hope there's a lesson in there, not just for Anthony and his teammates, but for the coaching staff as well, is that you need those little things. Talent takes you only so far. Effort and heart will take you the rest of the way. And Anthony has those, and he always has. It's not something this isn't some epiphany. We've known that since he was playing a few minutes a game under Archie Miller, that the guy could actually get on a college basketball floor, and he may not look like it compared to the other guys out there in the Big Ten, but he can actually affect games positively for your team. And there's a lesson for all of us not to forget that. You know, don't take Gabe Cupps' defense for granted. I know the kid needs to be more confident with his shooting. I was happy to see that tonight. But don't take the defense for granted. Don't take Trey Galloway's assists for granted just because they're not a five-star who's going to be drafted in the first round. So that's kind of what I'm taking away from this, is when there's an ugly game like this and you have to scrap and claw for everything, you need players who can scrap and claw. And Anthony Leal is one of those guys, and he's done it the entire time he's been in college. And some guys just have that fight in them to elevate things in an ugly game. And Anthony Leal did. And tomorrow night, when you're going to need somebody out there to help you recover on threes against Nebraska, that's the guy who should help. He'll help you. And so moving forward, I just think we need to always remember the contributions from the guys who maybe don't put up the big stat lines and just how important they are. And tonight it won you a game. Doesn't always, but it makes you better. And Anthony Leal made Indiana better tonight.
Yeah. Just from my perspective, just great to see him continue this winning streak. Great to see him pull the game out. And I think it, like I said, as much as anything, was just impressed with this team to be able, when things were really going south early in the second half, to be able to right the ship and come back and really make it a dogfight from there to the end of the game. And I think that's the way this team really had to play tonight without Trey. You had a lot of guys step up and almost everybody who scored. Peyton Sparks, the only guy who got in, didn't score, but took a big charge when he was in. So I think he saw contributions even on a night when your bench was a little bit shorter. Had a number of guys step up and kind of take turns making plays. Khalil Ware was the centerpiece and continues to impress us all. But I thought one of Xavier Johnson's best games in spurts in terms of the way that he ran the show and how hard he played defensively and the hustle plays that he made. Leal, we talked about a lot. I thought Cupps gave good minutes. Just an impressive team win from them tonight. And we can say, it's Penn State, whatever. This Penn State team had handed it to IU twice. And so I, you know, again, just impressed with the resolve in that situation as things started to go south, not to get into the, here we go again. And a five, I think it got to be six at one point, a 6-point Penn State lead didn't turn into 16 like it had in some of the games with them in the past. That IU really fought back, took the lead. And it was really, you know, back and forth from there on out. So that's the kind of effort they're going to have to bring tomorrow against a team that is not as good defensively as what Penn State is, but far better offensively. And so that's the kind of mentality that they're going to need. I think you can definitely see some bounce back performances tomorrow from guys like McKenzie Mbako, from a shooting percentage standpoint, and Malik Renew. And so hopefully those guys can bounce back a little bit. You build on the performances you got from the supporting cast and see what you can do. See if you can make a little bit of noise in the Big Ten tournament. And for a season that has not gone in any way like people thought that it would, probably no better ending for the Big Ten tournament to maybe not go how people thought that it would. So maybe there's a little bit of a storyline to be told there. We'll find out tomorrow night at 9 when they take on Nebraska, though. All right. Well, that'll do it for tonight's episode of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to substack.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU Hoops again with you on Friday night. And until then,
take it from me, Christian Wofford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I like everything about that.
And I don't have the other one, so we got to go with the old
That's
one.
It. We're done. No more questions.
Mm. Hey, you guys want stat of the night real quick?
What's that?
Indiana is 5-0 when Anthony Leo plays 20 or more minutes this season.
Can't believe we didn't have that for the stats segment.
There you go.
A little late, but thanks, I guess.
Yeah. What the heck, Jared? You're not on it in your car?
Crack research staff in the car in the driveway.
Perfect. Are you? Wait, so what's tomorrow? So I'm out tomorrow, but I can do Saturday.
I am also out tomorrow. I'm in. So this could get dicey. We'll see.
This could get dicey. I may just be doing it by myself from the car.
Is Coach out?
Just
I don't know.
Okay.
He might be because he's got bracketology stuff too.
Okay.
We'll find some folks.
We'll see.
Galen's not in town.
Yeah, Galen's in California posting pictures of himself on the beach.
With his weird hotel room too. That was funny. Yeah.
All right.
We'll figure it out. Tony maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
get some guys.
We'll
find some folks.
Everybody loves to.
There's always somebody who wants to come on the assembly call.
Certainly, in the Big Ten tournament, I mean, how could you miss it? So,
yeah, I'll be able to if they make it to Saturday. When they make it to Saturday, I'll be free for that. I'll do that.
Okay.
Good.
Very nice. All right, Andy, go get your brackets done.
Buddy.
I'll
stay safe.